Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey, what's going on? Dr. Tom here, and you're listening to The Positivity Effect, and this is episode number 19. I'd like to welcome Jonathan Raymond back to the show. Today, we're talking about this idea of trickle-down transformation in business and how it really doesn't work. He's going to share with us his methods and how they work, they've been working, and you know what he does to apply this to his clients' businesses. And we're going to talk a little bit also how it's applied to our personal lives as well. Jonathan's new book, Good Authority Book, comes out May 1st. You can pre-order it now at goodauthoritybook.com. And now, here's Jonathan Raymond. All right, guys, we're back. This is day two with Jonathan, the co-founder of Refound. Jonathan, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Thomas. Good to talk to you again.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we finished up yesterday. We were, you know, talking about, you know, how important relationships are in any aspect of life, you know, and I, you know, especially in business, it's just not focused enough on in business, because you can get so lost in the mission statement of the business. And you have this idea of trickle down transformation that mm-hmm. you really apply to businesses when you're consulting with them. So I'd love for you to just dive right into that.
You bet. Yeah, it came out of the trickle-down transformation is my idea for what doesn't work about businesses and the way we've been thinking about it for basically the last half century. And I'll explain what I mean by that. It's comes obviously for the economics fans among us, or just heard the word in politics of trickle-down economics. The trickle-down economics is this idea which has been discredited for, you know, basically since the idea was invented, that by enriching the people at the top of the food chain, that everybody else is going to benefit, right? Automatically, that, you know, that's going to be what happens. And I think if anyone can still look at the numbers on wealth inequality and the 0.1%, I mean, there's some crazy statistic right now that the top 0.1% of people on the planet have the same amount of wealth as the bottom 3.5 billion people. So I think we should be able to all agree that trickle down economics doesn't work, or at least is seriously flawed in its logic. Maybe there are some elements of it that are worth carrying forward. But when I think about it in the business context, I think we're doing a very similar thing. And what I mean by that is the business coaching, consulting, leadership training, management theory industry has been for the better part of 50 years and really before that, but really in the modern era, you know, since the 60s and 70s and, you know, a lot of ideas that people have heard of, books people have read, they're very much focused on the owner and the CEO. And what are the owner's goals? And what are the CEO's goals? And what's their vision for the business? And what goals do they have? And how are they going to get there? And what, you know, all these kinds of things. And it's this deeply, overly focused attention on the owner and the CEO, with this idea that if we help the CEO or the owner change, then everybody in the culture is going to benefit. And that's not a crazy notion of into itself. You would think, oh, that makes a little bit of sense, but it ignores the complexity of human relationships basically entirely, right? Because the owner and the CEO, for example, is the one person who doesn't know what it's like to work there. It's this completely like head slapping moment where it's like, oh, right, of course, they're the only ones who don't know what it's like to work for them. They can't know what that's like. And so if you try to do organizational transformation or culture change without talking to and understanding the reality of everybody else that works there, you've started from a totally incomplete picture. And so that's, you know, part of it. The other part of it is that as the CEO or the owner, if they're in a relationship, you know, I don't work with coaches, I don't work with CEOs unless I get to talk with other people in the company. I just don't do it, because I've learned over the years, which I would have done the same thing when I was in a CEO role. I mean, I'm in the CEO role now, but in a larger business, that we're not honest with ourselves. We can't see the things that we can't see. And so a CEO goes into a coaching office or a coaching group and says, well, it's this way and this person behaved that way. That's just their side of the story. And if you don't talk to the other, if you're a coach or a mentor or a trainer and you don't find out the rest of it, you're going to just be part of the problem. You're just going to be co-signing the owner's reality, which is by definition only half of the story. And so trickle-down transformation doesn't work, right? It creates, coaches put themselves in the position of, there's this us and them dynamic in organizations, and coaches unintentionally make themselves part of the them. They make themselves part of ownership instead of saying, hey, I'm here to help everybody. And I don't know what that's going to look like, but let's try it. Let's figure it out. And so, you know, in our model, we work with managers, we work with team leaders, we work with anyone and everyone, and we've built a really kind of low cost individual person based model. So rather than the owner spending $10,000 a month on leadership training, we spread money out so you can do it for a lot less than $10,000 and have everybody get a little bit of help, a little bit of mentoring and some guidance along the way, so that everybody plays a part in transformation. It's not a top-down thing that a CEO comes in on, or you know, brand officer, and says, okay, everybody, here's the way we're going to do it from here on out, like we were talking about yesterday. And then everyone else goes, well, that's nice. Well, how is that about me, right? Should I just spend my life helping you reach your goals? What about my goals? Does anyone want to ask what my goals are and you know where I want to be 5 years from now? And take that seriously, not just as a, you know, some cheesy, you know, team building exercise that nobody really cares about. Like, really invest in me as the human being, you know, that's here trying to help you. And so that's the it's a fundamental mindset shift to what is transformation. Transformation is not a top down thing. It's a personal thing. And it comes down to the individual relationships inside of an organization and the relationships people have with themselves.
When you step in, you know, to a business for the first time that you're consulting with, and you know, it's day one, what does that process look like? You know, because especially when you're working with a company that's just so they're really stuck, you know, with that notion of not focusing on all the individual relationships. You know, what does that time frame really look like to get them on the right track?
It's, you know, it takes a couple of months to kind of get our core ideas. We have a bunch of online courses that are part of it, where we give people, you know, by email and video and some quizzes and things like that to kind of educate them to the basics of our philosophy. But mostly what we do is we work in weekly calls where we teach in some way, but we really talk about real life examples. And we ask people to bring, you know, hey, what's going on with somebody on your team? You know, what's the problem that you're seeing? Okay, how do you, and we do a lot of, I feel like what we're trying to do is teach everybody to think like a CEO, right? To think, even if you don't have ever have the intention or the desire, but to look at individual problems from a systemic basis. What's the pattern? How do these things go together? What might be happening that's not being said that's behind it? And the way that we do that is by going small. Way we do that is by looking at how people manage the time in their day, about the specific communications, you know, when you down to the things like, you know, when you send somebody an email and you don't hear back from them for 3 days, well, how do you react?
Yeah, you kind of have that feeling like they're ignoring you, you know?
Right. So what do we mostly do with that in the professional world? We ignore it. Yeah. Right. We let it go and they must be busy. Da, da, da. The one thing we don't do is the most important thing to do is to say, hey, especially if you're a manager of somebody, hey, I sent you an email 3 days ago. I want to just step you through. I want to explain my thinking process. So when I send somebody an email, maybe you have this experience too. When I send somebody an email and I don't get a response back, I feel like I'm still holding on to it. And I feel like I'm still doing the work that in that case I asked you to do. Can you see what I mean by that?
Yes. Right? Yes. Yeah.
And that's training, right? That's the thing that's absent. It's like zero. There's none of that happening in the culture world where managers, CEOs, corporate trainers, they're not taking the time to show people in the most granular way. When you do this, here's what happens. Here's how this person reacted and here's why. And here's what was justified about their reaction. Now, what do you want to do? Right. And so we peel the onion all the way down to the smallest communications we can find, because that's what tears a team apart. It's not, the team does not torn apart because the company doesn't have a 3-year vision. The team is torn apart because people don't communicate with each other. They don't feel their impacts. They don't see how showing up late to work 3 days in a week puts everybody else in a bind, and where they have to do their work for you or cover for you, and how it contributes to office politics. It's in those micro behaviors that's where good mentoring happens, from my perspective. And that's what's almost completely absent from the company culture conversation.
And how about just all the different personalities too?
yeah.
Working with, yeah, all just all different types of personalities and getting them to all, you know, understand, help them understand different types of personalities so they can successfully really commingle and work better with each other.
Yeah. I have this book that's coming out. It's called Good Authority. That's coming out in, it's out for pre-order now. And it's going to ship in a couple of months. I'm introducing what I call the five personas. I also call it the team within the team. And they're a way to think about strengths, because not, you know, everybody's different. And my hesitancy was, I don't want to create another personality typing system that people kind of pigeonhole people. Oh, you're a this, or oh, you're a that. And so I've tried to keep it really open-handed, but to really help people see strengths in a new way. And so, you know, the person who takes too many risks, there's a great strength in that. How do you mentor them to create boundaries? The person who doesn't take enough risks, how do you mentor them to step out of their comfort zone? You know, the person who tends to be overly agreeable, right? And so I've identified five themes. I call them the provocateur, the pragmatist, the peacemaker. I can't remember what the other two off the top of my head. Oh, the performer. And anyway, I can't remember what the fifth one is off the top of my head. But to really give managers and mentors a lens to say, oh, okay, here's the general pattern that this person, I've already noticed that about this person, and here's how to work with them in a specific way that's going to help them grow, that's different than it would help somebody else.
Oh, that's awesome. And, you know, what does it look like, you know, where, you know, you're working with a company for a while and they, you know, quote unquote, work you out of a job, you know, meaning like they've just done such a great job where you're kind of stepping back now. And it's like, what does that culture look like now when they finally have made that transformation?
You know, the thing that I look for is when people, at least a couple of layers deep in the organization, when they say it's different, it's changed. When the CEO says it's different, I'm like, okay, I was a CEO. I know what it looks like from the CEO's perspective, right? And so when the CEO says everything's different, it's great. You know, we should, you know, we're done. I go, one second, let's take a look around here. and sometimes they need some more information and a bit of a reboot. But first, I just appreciate that what you said about working yourself out of a job, because I think that's really important. I want clients to be like, okay, you know what? We've internalized these realities. And so what it looks like to me is when mentoring is happening, when managers are asking more questions than solving problems, right? We use this phrase in our marketing sometime, more Yoda, less Superman, right? when managers are not flying around all day, putting out fires, fixing tasks and jumping in and saving people, but are asking questions and are leaving room for people to find the answers for themselves and then holding them accountable for doing it. And so when the culture does that, and, you know, we're a new brand, we just launched late in the fall of 2015. And so the clients that we're working with, you know, we're working with, you know, companies with 3 employees up to some companies with, you know, 800 employees. And so and most of them are kind of somewhere in the middle. And the phenomenon is the same. It's, you know, it's interesting to me that these dynamics are the same with, you know, 3 employees or 800 is the Superman, the superhero style. And so that's what I'm looking for, is how can I help somebody discover who their inner superhero is that's holding them back, right? We talked about at the beginning, yeah. You know, the things that hold us back. And we don't often think about it that way, but it's our superhero tendencies. It's working too hard, taking on too much, you know, looking the other way instead of confronting behaviors and challenging people and saying, hey, you know, that hurt. I don't like the way that felt. That kind of vulnerability, that's what changes the culture. And so those are the dynamics we're looking for.
I love that you touched on that, because I was just thinking about, you know, is there a big difference between, you know, if you're working with a company that it's, you know, less than employees you can count on your 10 fingers, or, you know, like you said, 800 employees. And that's pretty powerful, that it's pretty much the same problem, same thing.
Yeah. And it's what's one of the things that I love about the community that we're building. And, you know, it's small, we're just starting out, and, you know, it's been lovely. But one of the things that's really amazing is to have a CEO who's just starting out, who just started his company, has 2 employees, in a group with a CEO with 800 employees, and see, wow, you know, and to be able to learn from each other and see, wow, there's a lot of things that are different when you have 800 employees and you've been in business for 2 decades, but there's so many things that are exactly the same. And the blind spots that we fall into as CEOs, as leaders, as organizations, as parents, the blind spots at the top of the organizational chart, if you will, are the same. And we can all learn from each other about how to listen better, how to pay attention to the signs, how to hear what people are not saying, and not get so focused on the wrong things.
You know, you said an important, you know, you were talking about delegation. What what is that thing? Why is it so hard when somebody starts, creating something, whether it's, you know, it's a small business, maybe it's somebody that just started, they're one employee, then they hire someone, you know, they're the owner, then they hire someone. Why is it so hard for someone to delegate out, you know, let go and just allow, because once you do, it's like amazing. You realize, wow, I can get so much more done, you know, when I just give some of this control out to other people.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it's the question in a lot of ways. It comes down to personal value, not values, but personal value. And, you know, it sounds like you've been through at least one, probably more than one moment like this, where when you do it, it pushes up a lot. You go like, well, if they do that, well, then what's my job? Like, what do I do here? And, and there's a internal psychological pivot. And I think it's uncomfortable. Right. And you have to find, or it really finds you when you do it, but you find another gear in yourself that you don't know that you have. And, you know, crossing over that threshold is just difficult. And people assume that they wait for some other sign of safety, and it's never safe, right? There's never a good moment to give somebody something and where there isn't a risk that they're going to screw it up, right? It's Mark Zuckerberg could give something to a C-level executive at Facebook and they could screw it up, right? That you got, but you still have to let go, right? It's that internal psychological pivot that what makes it so hard. We get so attached to the feeling of the known and the comfort zone that we're in. Even though, as you said, and I love that you said it, when we change, we're like, oh, you know, I have a whole chapter in my book dedicated to this idea that when we actually go through and we live in that process of change, we can exhale, we can relax, and we think, why was I holding on to this for so long, right? But until we do, we do. Hopefully you've got people in your life who say like, hey, Jonathan, do you know that you're still holding on to that? Because I think you're not, but you still are.
Oh, that's so important is having that awareness in our lives to listen to people. Sometimes it's the hardest to listen to people that are the closest to us, because they're usually the most honest. They're going to be brutally honest with what they're seeing in us.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky. Yes. Yes. Oh, man. This is great, Jonathan. Now, someone, you know, they're driving in their car right now. They listen to this episode and they get exactly everything that you're explaining, and it makes complete sense to them. But they're saying, you know, I don't own a business. How do I apply this in my family? This idea, you know, maybe it's the father that's listening to this right now. How do I apply this to my family?
Yeah, it's great. I love that. I think that if I had a dream for this book, it's that, you know, parents would read it and, you know, school administrators would read it. And, you know, I'm passionate about business, but I'm equally passionate about families and relationships and love relationships. And so what I hope people will take from this is to ask, you know, my wife was talking with a friend of hers going for a walk the other day, and it's maybe a good example is she's a mom and, you know, has two kids, you know, around our kids' age. And she was just sharing about, you know, how drained she feels, how tired she feels, how overwhelmed she feels by it all, which I think is a kind of a universal experience these days. And what my wife, who's, you know, been instrumental in helping me write this book, of course, in her ways, you know, just asked her a question around, well, how are you taking care of yourself during that process? And, you know, then this, you know, amazing woman just broke down in tears. And it's like, I don't know how to do that. Right. I don't know. You know, I feel like I'm constantly running around helping everybody else and fixing everybody else's problems. I don't know how to do that. And I think for mothers and fathers, myself, you know, I think this is the lesson we all have to learn, is that there's a superhero persona that we take on as parents that we think is the right answer. And it's not evil. We're not stupid. It's not about anything. There's no reason for self-punishment, but the superhero person who's trying to do everything, who's trying to get everything done and take care of every little problem, is actually in the way of our kids growing up into fully formed adults. And also in the way of us being able to relax and enjoy a Saturday afternoon, or, you know, go out for a beer with a friend during the week. It's an awareness of our own tendency to take on too much and to think that our role is in what we do, when our role is in who we are. And that's the thing that our kids notice. And you know, it takes me back. Maybe it's a story that kind of bridges the two. It takes me back many years ago. I was running a business, and we had gone through a period of a lot of changes, and we had brought in some of these dynamics into the business. And a young guy who was a web developer who worked in the business, who had been kind of for the business before I was there, and then in the new mode, he came into. We were there. We happened to be there late one night, and he was just, you know, he was just loving life, and you know, he was really happy guy, and. You know, a lot of ways, which was different than the way I had experienced him before. And I asked him, and I said, you know, what's different for you? Like, why? And I knew the culture that we had created was very different. I knew it was different, and I knew it was better in some ways, and it wasn't perfect. And I said, you know, why are you happy? And he said, you know, Jonathan, the difference now is that when I go home, my sons look at me differently. They look at me in the eye, and I, of course, I was in tears, right? I was just like, oh my God, I'm done. I'm retired. Like, you know, my work is done here, right? And of course it wasn't, but that it was because he was in himself, and he was passionate about what he was doing, and it felt connected to his life. And, you know, he could miss dinner, but it didn't matter, because when he was home, he was present. He was there. And I think parents make the mistake of thinking that it's about the quantity of time that we spend with our kids. It's about, and of course, easy to say, it's about the quality of time. But you know, when we're constantly checking our phones, which I fall into this too, right? When we're constantly checing our phones and distracted and doing one more task, and oh, I just got to get this one thing done. And I think this is the challenge of being in our world, right? With all of these, you know, these gadgets that are incredible in some ways, but you know, if we're not careful, take us away from feeling more human. And so that's what I would say for parents and you know, moms and dads and, you know, people in love, and, you know, leave the phone at home and it'll be okay.
Oh man. And like with the kids too, like that analogy would same like that you said with the business, like it's not the Superman, it's the Yoda analogy.
Yeah. 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 And letting kids make mistakes, you know, letting kids learn, letting kids, you know, have their, I remember when my daughter was really young, and you know, this was, you know, years ago, and they, you know, they were trying to enforce this thing that's like, you know, that like they didn't, you weren't allowed to talk about a birthday party if not everybody was invited, right? Because it might hurt somebody's feelings. And it's like, how is this preparing us for our lives, right? Like, I get it when kids are really young, right? But she was beyond that age. She was still young, but like, what we, our feelings get hurt. We're, you know, people do, you know, we all do things to others that hurt their feelings, that we don't think about the impacts, that we're trying to help, and then in the end we realize we were hurting. Like, that's what it means to be alive. Like, we gotta learn to, we have to learn to be okay with this as a species, and stop trying, oh, and stop this like, oh, that's not what I meant. It doesn't matter what you meant. It matters what you did. Just take responsibility for what you did, and that's the healing, right? It's, we all do things 20 times a day where we unintentionally, you know, we cut somebody off when they were about to say something that mattered to them, or, you know, we get a little frustrated in the car, or, you know, I remember this guy once said to me when I was studying with this one teacher, and he said, you know, when I was living in San Francisco at the time, and he said, you know, when you're, which is, you know, horrific parking, you know, you can never find a parking spot anywhere. And he said, you know, when you're driving around San Francisco, you know, like, how many times do you, like, when you go by a spot and somebody got it before you did, it's like, just be happy for them, right? Like, just how many times are we like, we're happy for the other guy who got the parking spot, right?
Right.
And it's a funny thing to do, right? But, you know, sometimes I take to that, like, oh, nice one, you grabbed it, you know, and just turn it around. Like, you know, generosity, gratitude, compassion, the world needs more of it.
It definitely, definitely does. And I just want to finish it up by repeating something you said. It was so powerful. You said, it's not the role of what we do, it's the role of who we are.
Yeah.
So powerful. That was awesome, Jonathan. Guys, we're here with Jonathan Raymond, and he's got he's coming out with this book, Good Authority, 5 Personas, apply it to business, apply it to your own life. It's just, the themes are timeless, and I'm really looking forward to reading it. Jonathan, what's a great way that people can reach out to you and connect with you, and also with your podcast that you're doing currently?
Oh yeah, you bet. So our podcast is called Below the Noise, and you can subscribe to that on iTunes. I think we might be on Stitcher as well, but I know we're on iTunes, called Below the Noise. And then our website is at refound.com. So that's like rebound, but with an F. And we've got a free 3-video course on accountability that you can sign up right from our homepage. You just scroll to the bottom. There's a lot of information about what we do and how we approach things. And You know, of course, if you're in business, of course, but if you're a parent, you know, what parent doesn't need to learn how to get better at accountability, right? So,
so
you can check out our website at refound.com and the book at goodauthoritybook.com.
Awesome. And everything we spoke about today, you guys can find it if they go to the podcast tab at positivityeffect.com, put your name right in, and your show notes page will pop right up. So, Jonathan, thank you so much. I feel the rapport with you, man. This has been a great, great conversation. And I'm so grateful to have you on today.
Oh, it's been a privilege. Thank you so much. Really enjoyed the conversation.
Awesome. Talk to you soon. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests every single day. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency, compassion, and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com, sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. If you're really enjoying The Positivity Effect, please tell someone about the show. Together we can create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world, something that we need so desperately today. So thanks again so much for listening. See you tomorrow for another episode of The Positivity Effect.